Reverend Dr. Ohuneba Enyani Boadum is the pastor of the English Chapel of Jesus Generation Ministries, Center of Victory, a thriving congregation in the heart of Accra, Ghana. He serves faithfully under the leadership of Apostle Enyani Boadum, the General Overseer of Jesus Generation Ministries worldwide. Dr. Enyani Boadum's teachings are simple, practical, inspired by God, and characterized by many testimonies. He holds an annual healing and miracle service, which has witnessed many miracles of healings, signs, and wonders. Testimonies of this are published in his healing magazine titled Healing Springs. Believe God's word which you are about to hear, receive it, and be blessed. Now, listen to Reverend Dr.
I'm speaking this morning on divine deadlines. Say divine deadlines. One more time. What is a deadline? It's a certain time or date given for something to be completed. A certain time or date that's given for something to be completed. Everybody has been in school before. They give you an assignment. Physics 101, level 100, University of Ghana. And Professor Owusu Efriye says that I'll collect the assignment after 1 year. And he gives us a date, 2nd October 20, what's next year? 16. And you realize that as African as we are and human as we are, everybody leaves the assignment down till 1st October 2016. Then everybody's, the time is almost up. And they start to work on it. But the interesting thing is that you realize you were given a whole year. And if you did a little assignment or a little bit of it a day at a time, by before 1 year would have elapsed, you would have actually finished. And this is a true story. That man gave us an assignment for a year. And I was part of it. Nobody did it the next week. Everybody left it and then started it about a day to it. Divine deadlines. Amen. Can I have some strength, please? Amen. Now, even so, take our presidents in Ghana to say, they are elected for 4 years and they have to run for 4 years. The deadline is that no one president can do more than two terms. You cannot do more than 8 years. Hallelujah. You can't. Now, it doesn't matter how wonderful you were when you were the president. I believe some of you are so political that you have some presidents you wish they would have come back on. Yeah, if you are here, say yeah. Yes. Some of you wish some TikTok man was still on. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some of you also wish some half-caste man was still on. Yes. All right. So there are, and some of you wish that some money man who could never make it would have made it. Some of you also wish that some man who has been pursuing the thing for so long because his father was, will at least be given a chance, even though he has entered the 70s. So there are deadlines. Now, no matter how wonderful the thick and tall gentleman president did, after the two terms, there is nothing in the constitution to allow him to run another term, even though he was wonderful. And no matter what our current JM is going to do after his term, there is nothing he can do to say, I want another term. He has even jara from the time the other president died. You understand? Before his normal election, so he could be the longest serving president in the country, or if he wins the other one. Okay, I'm not talking politics. I'm not prophesying. I'm just giving an example for deadlines. Okay, so let's stay with President Kufuor. Let's stay there. No matter how wonderful Kufuor was, none of you could bring him back to say you want him to rule again. Why? Because the time is over. It is the same with the divine. There are deadlines governing every one of us. Now, to understand this message, I recommend you get my earlier messages on purpose. The clock is ticking. What am I on earth for? And all those messages. Amen. Look at those who are anointed for ministry. Look at those who are anointed maybe for a music ministry, a book ministry, children's ministry. Everybody is anointed for a particular reason. Now, one thing the anointed are quick to consent to is that their anointing is for a particular assignment. For that one, everybody believes that. So when you read the visions and mission statements of churches and organizations and other things, you realize, so they say, our mission is to the elite in the society. Others are also thinking their vision is to the market women of Abokobi. Others think their vision is for the graduates. So everybody has a particular target. But the same people live in denial that the anointing on their lives is for a limited time. Say, the anointing on my life is for a specific assignment and for a limited time. Wow. The clock is ticking about the anointing on your life. God, maybe you say, I'm not a pastor, so this doesn't apply to me. It applies to you. Whatever God made you to become is your ministry. I've said it here that your ministry or your purpose is your God-given ministry. Your true purpose in life is not a banker. No, there's something else. Maybe you have to build an orphanage. Can you imagine if the people who started Salvation Army never started it? Can you imagine if the people that started Red Cross never started it? You see, it is today that many things are started for financial gains and selfish reasons. But people who have discovered their purpose and have lived it are the most successful people in the sight of God. How do you discover your purpose? Go get those messages I preached. Today I'm talking about the timeline to your purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1 to 2. We'll be reading shortly. Yeah.
To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted.
Good. The scripture says, to everything there is a time and a purpose. To everything that is under this earth, there is a season for it. There is a time to every purpose under the heaven. You have a particular reason for existence. Some people build nightclubs. That is what they think they came on this earth to do. God bless them. As we repossess those buildings for churches. Some people also decide to, you see, life is not life till you leave it and bless somebody with it. There are many of the anointed, now let me just narrow it to ministers so that I'll be brief. who are so quick to agree that this particular anointing on me is for a certain group of people, but they fail to appreciate that the anointing is for a limited time. The time is running out on the reason why God made you. The time is running out. You see, the whole world and God is like a football team and a coach. And no matter how skilled you are, we all going to play for 90 minutes. But during the 90 minutes, you realize that if the coach is not getting the desired results, and he realizes that he wants to change his formation because some of the players are not going according to the way he wants, all of a sudden we hear a whistle. And then they show somebody's number and demand that that person comes out of the game. There are people who have come out of the game after 10 minutes. There are people who have come out of the game after 20 minutes. There are people who have come out of the game after 30 minutes. There are people who started and after 2 minutes they came out. I'm talking about a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. I'm talking about your life. That the time it started was the time T1. And the time it will end is probably the time T2. And the Bible says to everything, there is a season and a time to every destiny under the heavens. Now, what the Bible did not talk about was that it gave us the extremes of examples. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to sow, a time to harvest. All right? A time to laugh, a time to mourn. The Bible is just giving us extremes. And the Bible is silent about one most important time. What time is that? The time in between the two times. A time to be born and a time to die. None of them is as important as the time in between the two. Nod your head. Say, I hear you. What you do in between T1 and T2 is the most important thing. And for the anointed, who believe that the anointing is for a specific group of people, but fail to recognize that that same anointing will run out after a while. Oh yes. Have you seen somebody that wrote songs 20 years ago and never launched them? I have some songs I wrote 5-6 years ago. We can't sing them today. Because the children of today will listen to the song and say, what are you singing? Okurayen. Okurayen. Entiyen suro. Sayenago. Avosafumba. The children of today will listen to that song and say, what are they doing? What is But back in the days, Nimu nenkwawo, enkwan ni nipa hain, ehain ni sire unsum, esumendi ni suo. Nimu nenkwawo, enkwan ni nipa hain, ehain ni sire unsum, esumendi ni suo. This was sung by Yaps, Yawajaman Bedu and the Saints. He sang the Bible without words. He didn't put words into it. He sang the Bible. But sing that song today. When we are singing, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. And go for a music concert. And everybody is singing, you are not a God created by human hands. And when you come, let's receive the blessed choir from Kotokurubu 1 and 2 church. Then they come. Then they take their mic. 1, 2, 3. Nimu na nkwawo. Na nkwa ni onipa ahai. Ahai ni shire. Everybody's going to laugh. Everybody will laugh. You remember we used to sing like that? 1, 2, 3. Nimu na, no, David said go. 1, 2, 3. Go. Nimu na nkwawo. Na nkwa ni onipa ahai. Yes. They will laugh at you. Why? You are singing a wonderful song which has passed its deadline. No matter how anointed Yaps, Yawajaman Beru, Stella Dugan, even Cindy Thompson, Susie and Matt. These are all wonderful musicians, music ministers that God used. No matter how anointed they are, the season for their significance is gone. Amen. It is in the same way that your season is also fading away. A time to be born and a time to die. Many ministers fail to appreciate that the thing on them is for a certain season. Look, even in the book of Numbers, the Bible says those who enter into the priesthood office should be from the ages of 25 to 50. Now, after 50 years, you have to be replaced. Now, God is not saying that after 50 years you are not anointed. But God is saying that your significance to his current move at the time may have passed. Oh, you see, the only problem why people continue to linger in office is that sometimes they do not appreciate that their time is past, and they feel that everything, you see, is quite a sensitive topic I'm dealing with, so I'm a bit careful. Yeah, I prayed for wisdom last night. Because they feel that everything revolves around them. Now, there are people who've been singing in church for the past 20 years. Come on. They were in the praise team when I was a little boy. They are still in the praise team. I've gone to medical school. I've finished. I'm a doctor. They are still in the praise team. Now, that's almost 15 to 20 years. Now, my orientation is changed. But she's still in the praise team. And she's not making way for the young one to come. And then when they say there's offering time, they run and take the microphone because they've been there for so long. And then they begin to sing a song with a certain voice that I begin to wonder, where am I? It drives your anointing away. Glory to God. I'm saying something important. It's sensitive, but it's important. How can you be singing songs whose authors cannot even remember how they wrote it? The one that wrote the song can't remember. By you, because you are not exposed to any newness. You hold the church bound in your traditions. Oh God, give me wisdom. Because this is a sensitive thing I'm talking about. There are preachers who should move on because the current move of God has left the realm in which God used them. In the book of 1 Samuel. Now, you see, when people fail to appreciate divine deadlines, it's because perhaps they didn't prepare anybody to take over. Or they feel everything will revolve around them for so long. The Bible says, and Elisha was sick and he died. But because Elisha did not impact anybody, the anointing was in his bones, but the anointing could not save him. I'm talking to you about the significance of that period between the time you are born and the time you die. The significance of that period between the time you are impacted for ministry and the time you are supposed to finish ministry. The significance of that time that you have to do what God says do. Now, in John chapter number 9,
You know the story from chapter 8 downwards. Jesus Christ was accused that he had a demon. Jesus Christ was running away from an angry mob who wanted to kill him. Then in John 9:1, when he was going, he met a man who was born without eyeballs in his socket. So it's not like he was blind, but there were no eyes. Medical term is enucleation. It's as if they've removed your eye. And the two of them were not there. Was a congenital abnormality. He was born with it. Then the disciples began to wonder, that is it he that sinned or the mother that sinned? We forget about all that. But Jesus Christ says something in verse number 4 of John 9. After he healed the man, he said that I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. The day is the time between your T1 and your T2. The day is that period Ecclesiastes was silent about, but the most important of them. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. What Ecclesiastes, the preacher, did not write about was the time in between these two extremes. That is the most important time. There are many anointed people. You know, when Saul, King Saul, sat on the throne, he sat on it only for 2 years. And God said that your kingdom is not going to continue. When he went to do that sacrifice, it was in the second year of his reign. But he sat on it for another 38 years to make a 40-year reign before the next person. So for the next 38 years of his life, he was out of place in God's calendar, and he was leading a people who were all out of place. So the system became chaotic because God had moved on. Can God move on? Yes. God can move on. Like a coach in a football team, when he thinks that your playing, your line is not working with his general calendar, he's going to replace you. I pray that God does not replace you in his team. I pray that you will fulfill your ministry. Discover it and fulfill it. In the house of Eli, a wonderful high priest of God, 1 Samuel, just be following me. The Bible says that Hannah, a couple came there, Hannah and Elkanah. And when Eli sat at the porch of the temple, he saw Hannah speaking, talking, praying. Eli confused it to be drunkenness. Forgive him. Well, maybe it's a sign. I'm trying to tell you, answer the question, can God move on? God can move on from you, no matter how anointed you are. God can move on from you. My dear ones, God can leave you. God will love you, but he will leave you. He loves you, but he will not use you for his purpose. Because Eli was an anointed man. Eli was the man that looked at Hannah in the face and prophesied that a year today the Lord visit you and bless you with children. Eli was the one that saw the pain of the woman and said that if you are not drunk and this is pain, then I bless you. That God open that womb and give you a boy child. Eli was an anointed man that sat there. The high priest of the order of Aaron, they carried a promise. They carried a Levitical promise. But what had happened to Eli? Eli had passed his divine deadline. It had passed. Glory to God. And so when Eli prophesied Samuel into being, what he did not know was his mouth was calling his next in line. What Eli did not know when he gave that prophecy was he was telling the mother that give birth to a boy who's going to kick me off the throne. Because God has a different agenda. I think I told you some time ago recently that there's a certain time that you got to do what you got to do, and after that you will not be able to do it anymore. If you're a minister here, if you sing, if you write books, if you're doing something and you don't do it now, I tell you there are many anointed people with regrets. Many anointed people with regrets. One of them I'm going to be telling you about was in the city of Israel. I'll tell you shortly about them. But Eli sat there, the divine deadline had passed. And he prophesied his next in line. And when the boy came to the house, young boy didn't know God. Lying in the boy's quarters, Eli was there. God had an agenda. God had a plan. God wanted to talk to somebody about something that was aching in his heart. God never spoke to Eli. Never. Even in his last days, he sent men to talk to him and never spoke to him directly. The man that knew so much the voice of God that he could describe it to a young boy and tell him how to respond so that he would speak. He knew how to get God to speak. He knew how to get God to speak. And then when Samuel was there, three times he heard a voice of God. He ran to the house of his master and said, "Master, did you call me?" He didn't tell him he was insane. He didn't tell him he was dreaming. He knew how the master calls, because the master used to call him. He knew that he would come at this time and speak. So when he came, he said that, "Go." But when you hear his voice again, oh, that was such an anointed man. How many of you, if your son was asleep and 2 a.m., he woke up and came to you, "Daddy, daddy, 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 did you call me?" And he does it as three times. You're telling me as malaria. You lay your hand on that child and rebuke the voices he's hearing. I'm telling you, most of you will do that. And then you say that 2 or 3 times and you begin to panic. Again, the question, I could hear it voices. And especially if you are somebody like us with medical background, then you begin to think, "Hey, is my child getting psychotic? Is he having auditory hallucinations? Is hearing things?" But this was a high priest that a young boy came and said, "Daddy, you called me 3 times." I didn't call. I said, "No, you did call me. You said, 'Samuel, my boy.'" And he said, "How did you hear the voice?" He said, "Samuel, my boy." Okay. I want you to go lie down at the same place. Now, don't sleep. Oh, such a father. He said, "You will hear his voice again." How did he know? He said, "You will hear it again." He's still there. He's not gone. Run back. Don't stay with me here now. Go back. And when you hear it again, this is how you should answer for him to speak to you. "Master, speak, for thy servant heareth." Lift up your hands. Let's pray for our fathers. Lord, be merciful to our fathers. Lord, remember the Elis that we have served under. Show them grace, so that one day when we grow to become like them, you remember we prayed for them, and you will have mercy on us also. For if you were to mark iniquity, no man can stand. Thank you. Amen.
What happened for God to bypass his best friend and enter the room of a little boy who did not know God? The Bible says, "For as yet Samuel did not know God." What happened for God to be more interested in a boy that never prayed to him? Why is God walking past his anointed? Divine deadlines. Now, I don't want you to think about, because early there were some issues in his household, but that's not my focus for today. My focus is, if Eli's sons were correct, God will not bypass Eli to Samuel. God will bypass Eli to his son. And that is no bypass. That is continuation. But anytime there is a Samuel, then it means an Eli failed. Good answer. Anytime there is a Samuel, then it means an Eli has failed. But anytime there is an Elisha, oh, Kurahasa, then it means an Elijah did it. What happened? God moved on from Eli. He loved him, but he moved on. Do you know it was the same thing that happened to Samuel? But it's not my focus.
Say, "God have mercy."
The anointing is for a specific time. If you miss it, you can sing the gracious songs God ever gave you 30 years ago. They will make no impact. You can preach the most wonderful sermons God gave you 15 years ago. They will make no impact. Some of you have ideas, you've never brought them forth.
And the time is running out. A time to be born and a time to die. First Kings chapter number 13. Verse number 1 to 24. Just write it down for the purpose of time. There was in this town an old prophet. An old prophet that was used by God. And then King Jeroboam started engaging in idol worship. When he did that, God wanted a man to speak to the king, but God did not go to the old man, the old prophet. God chose a young man who had no understanding. And then God said to him, go to the king and prophesy. And he did that. When he finished, my emphasis is, there was a man in that place already. There was an anointed man in that place already, but God had no use. Why? Divine deadline. I'm not saying go tell your pastor, send a time a trim. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that God is doing something, and the anointing God put on me is for a certain time. And if I do not do what he wants me to do in that time, and that time goes by, and I come back and I want to do it, that's what I'm trying to talk about. Perhaps you have the burden on you to go evangelize and preach to people. And you see, like, I think, Rev, you were telling me a story about a certain man of God who was now not well, and he was saying now he wants to do this and this and that. And he's expired. He's passed away. Medicine, we say he's expired. May you fulfill your purpose before you expire. You see, you hear many old folks, they say that, I wish I knew God a little earlier. Well, they had an opportunity anyway. And you have that opportunity, so you are blessed. But I don't want you to be ignorant in your blessing, that the time is running out. And whatever you have to do for God, you do it now. God went to that young boy and said, go to the king. God did not go to that old prophet. Not that he wasn't anointed, but because the season of his, the impartation that came upon him was for a certain season. God will help me. God will help me. Let me talk about three people and let me go. Elijah, King Ahab, and Ben-Hadad. Three people. Three people that were sitting on thrones and they were way past their divine deadline. Three. You see, and any time you cross that deadline, anything you do is not inspired by God. Let's pray for pastors. Let's pray for leaders. Anytime you pass that deadline, anything you do is not of God. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse number 1. I'll take the reading and then I'll try to be brief. And, I'm preaching it with a lot of carefulness. So forgive me.
And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.
What did God say to Elijah? He said, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to send rain on the earth. Lift up your right hand. Say, God, may I hear explicitly from you. And may I carry out that information clearly. One day I was preaching in Connecticut, and I didn't know there was a preacher that had come. And as I was preaching, the Holy Spirit said through me to the person I was standing in front of it, wait, don't be in a hurry. There is a city that's going to call you, but don't leave now.
And you know, I kept saying some things to him. Now, when I finished the service, not knowing he was a visiting preacher, and he had decided to leave his church and start a new church. And he was asking God what to do. And when he was going to another service, because you know he had become disloyal and he decided to go somewhere else. And he met somebody who did not like disloyalty, and God decided to speak through him to him. So when he finished, he said, you know, I was about to take a decision, but I got the answer. And I said, I hope you do exactly as the Lord told you. God said to Elijah, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will be what? Sending rain. Okay, verse 15.
Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today.
So Elijah went on his way and saw King Ahab's servant, who is Obadiah, and said, go tell the master that I'm around. Then something transpired. So Elijah said that thing. I want you to read 15 to 19, and then we'll go to 20 to 27, and I'll close it.
So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, is that you, O troubler of Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, and 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Mm-hmm. 20 to 27. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him.
We're going to continue. Okay, you are going to continue all the way to 1 Kings chapter 20. Okay, those of you who are quite mature understand how I'm careful in doing this message. Now, what did God tell Elijah? Don't worry, I'm going to close you. What did God say to Elijah in the verse 15? He said what? In the verse 1. He said, go show yourself to Ahab, for I will send rain. Then verse 15, Elijah said, as the Lord lives, I will show myself. I want this song we've been singing. You play that one for me. Then when he got there and he saw Ahab, what did he do? God said, go and show yourself to him and tell him I'm sending rain. When he got there, he said, I'm here. Then the king said, you are trouble of Israel. I said, no. Then he said, call all your 400 prophets and the 450 of Asherah. Put them together. They are 850. Me, I'm trying to talk like Elijah spoke like an African. Me, I'm one man. You, 850 people. Come together and meet me on the mountain. Is that what God said? No. God said, see the man, tell him I will send rain. You see, when your time, the deadline passes, you start behaving very out of place. Elijah was thinking that he knew. Because when you read from verse 1 to 15, he was talking to Obadiah. And then Obadiah said, when Jezebel was killing people, I saved the prophets. Elijah had something in him. Because Jezebel has killed some prophets. Elijah thought he was alone. So when he said, bring all the 850, he knew those were the only ones left. Bring all the 850. So they came. And then he said, get us two cows. Give them one. Give me one. God said, go show yourself to the man. Tell him, I will send rain. Now, anytime you leave your divine deadline, you start having your own agenda. You are not here for yourself. You are here to do what God wants you to do. But when you escape the reality of your deadline, you start doing things for yourself. People run churches by their own plans now, not by the Holy Ghost. If people were running churches by the Holy Ghost, why would a pastor have a conference that is still blood for blood in the New Testament under grace? How would a pastor have a program that says do or die in the New Testament under grace?
see people follow them like people followed Saul when God had left him after 2 years. Blood for blood. If I be a man of God. If you are, so what? Elijah said that thing when he was calling fire to destroy people. And now under the New Testament, I don't know why everybody does that too. I really don't understand. If I be a man of God. Is it to threaten us that you are a man of God? God said, go and tell the man I'll send rain. But now he was not hearing from God very well. I'm telling you, Elijah towards the end of his ministry wasn't hearing from God very well. Just like God went past Eli, Elijah wasn't hearing. If he was hearing, God said, go and tell the man I'll send rain. When he got there, he said, go and bring all your prophets. Gather them, give them one cow. Now, from 2020, I think it's 27. When they were praying and the thing was not working, then the anointed prophet of God started behaving very silly. He said, maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he's gone somewhere. Maybe Elijah started mocking. Elijah. A default. What is that? What is he doing? Yeah, it's quite a sensitive message. It's for people who are mature. What is he doing? God said, go tell the man, rain. Then you called for a battle. You brought all the 850 prophets. Then him. They said, now kill the cow. Okay, now let fire come on this cow sacrifice. Then they prayed and prayed. When it wasn't working, he started mocking them. Yeah! Somebody should have thrown a stone and hit his head. Yeah, I'm sure this is your God. He's gone on a journey. I'm sure he's somewhere attending to somebody. So you just cut yourselves more. Look at that. And the people were cutting themselves and bleeding. And he was still there laughing. Like that's what he did. And they did it all the way. And nothing happened. Then he said, it's my turn. Then he repaired the altar. Then he took 12 stones according to the tribes of Israel. There's a prophet. If you don't, sometimes they will even let you carry stones. I'm telling you. You see, the truth is difficult for people who are simple. And I'm talking about Bible simple. Yeah. It's like Rick Warren said, for anybody who is ignorant of history, everything is new to them. Because he doesn't know history, anything he sees is a new thing. He put the stones there. Now he said, bring water. Was it necessary? I'm trying to tell you something. God said, go tell the man, I will send rain. Bring water, pour water, pour water, pour water. Then he said something. I want you to find it. He said, oh God, I want you to bring fire from heaven to take this sacrifice. And let them know that I have done all these things by your word. Liar. Oh, to you. Next one. Oh, Mose. Oh, to you, my Savuye. Oh, I'll sing you one more time. Oh, to you. Assassin, you know. Mose. First time Elijah prays a prayer like this. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. Tie me, O Erade. Erade me srew. Tie me. Eh? When he called fire, he didn't ask God to hear him. When he called fire to burn 50 groups of people, 50 groups of people, 50 groups of people, he didn't say, God, hear me. This is one cow, one. Only one cow lying on the altar. And I says, hear me. And let them know that I have done this. This is the next verse. By your word. God didn't tell him to go and kill anybody. When fire came, it was just messy. When fire came, do you know what Elijah did? I said, when you step out of your timeline, you start doing things out of place. He took a sword and killed 850 prophets. Killed them. Then he went away. And then when he went away, he had news that Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you the same way you killed them. I hope you are following me, reader. Then Elijah went to sit down under a tree. The man that just called fire. I want you to see the Bible beyond the simple reading. He was out of place with God. He went to sit under a tree and said, it's okay. Let me die. I am not better than my fathers. Kill me right now. Why is he inviting death? He knew that he had completed his mission. Elijah that opened rivers, that called fire, that stopped rain, to encore fire to burn 150 army generals, will not run because a woman said, I will kill you. He won't. But because he was out of place, he ran, hiding under a tree, inviting death to come. And then God came to him. I hope your reader is following me, but I want you to. And then God said, I'm going to talk to you. When Elijah heard there was an earthquake, he ran there. God was not there. I'm telling you, Elijah didn't even know how to hear from God anymore. When there was a wind, he ran there. God was not there. Then he went into a cave and went to stand there quietly because he was wondering. Then the Lord came to him. And the Lord said, what are you doing here, my brother? That is the point of my message before I close. I have been very zealous for the Lord. I've been very zealous. I've been working hard for the Lord. And the children of Israel, they have left your commandments, stole your altars. They have killed all your prophets. And I am the only one left. This is the reason why he went to do the thing he did on the, he killed those people. Now Elijah, like I said, he was zealous for the Lord. It wasn't his work before. It was the time that he was killing people. That's what he's telling God, I've been very zealous for you. When you are out of place, you think that you are going out of your way to do things for God, but God is actually wanting you to stop doing those things and allow his Elijah to continue. Unto your man. I will close. Find the verse that said, when Elijah finished complaining, God said something to him. And that is what I want us to look at. I think it's the verse number 41. I'm not too sure. Where God said that, yet. God said to him, I want you to find and read it and I'll close now. God said to him, go your way. Go and look for Jehu and anoint him as king. Go and look for Hazael. Anoint him as king. One as king over Israel, the other as king over Syria. And then he says, you yourself, go and look for Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and anoint him as a prophet in thy place. And that's the end of my message. Three men. Go back to, go to the 15. When he finished crying, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. This is where he came from. And when, and I can preach there too. Because he was actually where he had to do an assignment. And he left. And ran to the caves. Looking for God in mountains and earthquakes. Big things that are whooshios. That's why he was looking for God. And so when finally God met him, God told him that go back to where you came from. And I want you to go and anoint some people to go and take over some new things because those sitting on the thrones have expired. They have outlived their deadlines. He said, go and anoint Hazael as king over Syria. The king over Syria that time was Ben-Hadad. He says, then go and anoint Jehu as king over Israel. The king over Israel was Ahab. And then he said, you too, go and look for Elisha. And you see, I'm sure when God said, anoint Jehu as king over Israel, he said, Ahab should go. Not chasing me to even kill me. He said, anoint Hazael. He said, he should also go. Then he said, now you. You've also finished. Go and anoint Elisha. Nedinupu was serious. As prophet in your place. Now the day God said that, he meant to tell Elijah that he should vacate the place for the young man to come. That's when Elijah ended. Now, I will not bore you again, but when you read the scriptures, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, and Ahab, they went into war. I said, when you outlive your deadline, you start doing things erratic. Ben-Hadad came to Ahab and said, everything in your house I want. Ahab said, fine. Then he sent messengers and came again and said, now, we'll not just come and take anything, but we'll inspect your whole house. Anything we see that we like, we'll take. And Ahab said, no. Then they started fighting. You know the story. He said, you drink your urine. So they started fighting. Two times God delivered them. Now, when you read 1 Kings 20, when the army of Syria was coming, there were 32 kings with them. When they were coming against Ahab, he had also finished his deadline. He was there. He didn't know what to do. Then God sent a prophet to him and said that I will deliver these people. Then he said, by who? God sent a messenger to tell him that I'm going to say, by whose hand will you deliver them? The man was out of place. Then God gave him an answer. He said, by the young men in the provinces, I will deliver those people. When Ben-Hadad, 1 Kings 20, verse number 16, when he heard that Ahab had disrespected him, they were drinking. 32 kings drinking. And that's when he commanded that they should go to war. When they were drunk. That's when he commanded that 32 nations go to war when they were drunk. When you are out of place, you do things anyhow. When God defeated them twice, and Ben-Hadad came to King Ahab and said, oh, I beg you, after the two attempts to kill him, I beg you. And Ahab forgot that it was God that fought for him. Do you know what Ahab did? These three people had all finished their time. When Ben-Hadad came to beg, Ahab just got up and hugged him. Said, oh, my brother, everything that I have taken from you, I'll give it back to you. Everything you've taken from me, give it back to me. Yeah. And the Bible says, God was not amused. So God sent a prophet. Prophets on some bread. God told one prophet a message. Then the prophet went to stand outside. Odi for sorry. Then he saw a prophet, can I make sure you don't slap me? Then he said, slap me. And then the man said, he can't slap him. Then he said, because you didn't slap me, a lion will seal you and kill you. That was how the thing operated those days. That's why I'm saying the prophets of today should listen to my message. The dispensation has changed. Because if a prophet said, slap me, because he wanted to go and tell a message. And the guy didn't slap him. Because of that, his life was ended. Then he met another man. He said, slap me. Then the man gave it to him. Pie! He said, slap me again. They gave it to him. Pie! Then his face was bleeding. Then he covered his face with the blood. Then he went to stand on the road where King Ahab was coming. And then he saw Ahab and told him something. Then Ahab pronounced a judgment. Then he removed the cover and saw he was a prophet. They said, Jesus. And then that was how Ahab died finally in battle. Elijah saw Elisha. And you all know the story. God said, go and anoint him. He took his mantle and threw it over him. Someday. And I was going. And when the young man was following him, he said, what have I to do with you? Go back home. What have I to do with you? It's like an African president who doesn't want to leave the throne. He said, go and anoint the man to take over from you. They got there, took the time, just threw it on him. It was that all God told him to do? He said, anoint, anoint. Then when the man was following him, he said, what about, go. Why are you following me? Even when God told him, I was going to pick you today to heaven. That's when he told the guy, I'm going to Jerusalem. God has sent me. Don't follow me. Then he's going. Then the guy said, as the Lord liveth and thy soul lives, I will follow you. Because I'm sure God had told Elisha that today he will go. And today you have to catch the thing. So the first thing he threw on him, he didn't give him the anointing. How can you give anointing and throw him on something? No. It's like you want something from your father and you and say, okay, take it. That was it. Then he said, God has sent me to Jericho. So wait. He said, check. I will wait. I follow. Then he was going to Jordan. Then he said, but this one, look, this is the last one. And that was the place he knew that the chariot would meet him. When he got to Jerusalem, the chariot was not there. He wasn't hearing right. Then he went to Jericho. The chariot was not there. Then he decided, oh, let me go to Jordan. But the thing was like, JJJ. I'm telling you, you see, I know one day I meet him in heaven. One day I meet him in heaven. I'm sure you say, hey, young man, I will call fire on you right now. He wasn't hearing right. But why didn't he want the guy to follow him? God said, anoint him to take over. Sorry. So he should have even been teaching him things. But no. Do you know how Bible describes him? He was the one that pour, every day when he says that, pour water on my hand. Pour water on my hand. So the Bible says this is Elisha who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Not that this is Elisha whom Elijah impacted. Like the way Bible spoke of Timothy that Paul laid hands on him. No. This is Morris. Morris. You see, mommy, I impart Morris. I do for Morris more than Elijah did for Elisha. God said, go to Jordan. But he heard it like, then you know some of the prophets now, they say, I hear, sister, are you from Mima? But when did the Holy Ghost become a stammerer? That he wants to tell you the person is from Nima and he cannot say Nima and you are only hearing ni. It means you are not hearing well. But you will be so, wow. Prophet B.M. Gushianba. Or your name is also ni. And then when they look at your dressing, they can predict that where you live, there are no gates. And there are no walls. He's having the service around circle. It's more obvious about 50% of the people come from Bukumlimli and Newtown suburb. And looks at your dressing and says, Bram, who said, of course, it's Africa. You can predict people's pattern of life by the way they dress. Go to America and by the cars they drive. Go overseas and see somebody come to your service with a small car and predict that. Or financial stress me. When in Begu, I say, because somebody can come in a bicycle just because he wants to come in a bicycle. But here, you two will drive bicycle because we want to drive bicycle. No. That's Africa for you. Melanin. Yes. Go and anoint Elisha. You see, three people who had outlived their deadline. Ahab, Ben-Hadad, and he himself. And God said he should go and anoint the replacement. He didn't do any of them. I'm telling you. He didn't anoint Jehu. He didn't anoint Hazael. God had to force him to call Elisha. That's why he threw his cloth over him. And then he was going. And the man said, wait for me. He said, what have I to do? Go away. What have I to do with you? He wanted to follow him. Then he said, God said go to Jordan. But he had so he started. He went to Jerusalem. Then he went to Jericho. Then he said, the thing is not there. So finally he decided it has to be Jordan. So when I was going, and then the guy said, I'll follow you. He said, no, I have to be at Jordan for a specific assignment. He says, I will still follow you. So it was when they were going that his heart got broken. Then he said, okay, what is it, cry, that you want? Hey, Elijah wants to say he didn't know why Elisha was following him. And he said that because you have asked, I was going to walk in the same anointing because I was supposed to be in your stead. But because you are now asking me, the thing you didn't want to give me double.
Like the African, some of the African fathers, some of them. Well, you have asked a very hard thing. But if you only, God said anoint him to stay your state. Then he says, you have asked a very hard thing. But if only you are matured in the spirit enough that your eyes will open and see me when I'm being raptured. That is the only time I can give you. Wow. And the guy said, God day, we day. So when they were going, he saw, even the Jordan he divided, he didn't want him to see. So he divided the Jordan. The guy said, hey, powers were on, sir. When they were going, I don't know what he was telling him, but I don't think he was any good instruction. The guy didn't want to give him anything. How will you say if you see me? So if the guy couldn't see him, Israel would have been deprived of a great prophet. Yeah. Then when they were going, Elijah saw the thing coming. Then he started, Charlie, follow me. Right after you, okay, you follow me. When I'm going fast, I don't go fast. So we are talking like that. Let's go. So then he saw the thing. Then he started doubling his steps like this. Then the guy said, hey, I'm sure the thing is coming. But he saw the thing open. So before he realized, the guy was up. Then he said, my father, my father. I didn't pay that answer on who you. He lifted him before Elisha saw. That's why he was screaming, my father. It wasn't that when he was taking him, he saw. No. Grace made Elisha see. Otherwise, Israel would have been deprived of a major prophetic ministry. It was when he was going up. That is when he saw the thing. He said, hey, my father, my father, my father, my father. The chariots, he started describing what he was seeing. Hallelujah. The chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He still held on to his mantle in the chariot. I'm telling you, this you won't see it. Read the Bible. He still held on to it like this in the chariot. The boy screamed. I think he screamed twice. My father, my father. The chariot of Israel. And the one who was riding the chariot said, Fadi and Abraham, someday. Then he took the thing from him. And he threw the thing. He didn't get the thing from the ground, though. He fell. Then when he took it, he said, may you receive your anointing. Rise to your feet. May you receive your anointing. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he started rolling it. Then the sons of the prophets were all there. Then he was still going. So he got to the Jordan. All of them were standing there. You see, there were sons of prophets in Jerusalem. They missed the action because the man thought it was Jerusalem. So when they got there, they said, Elijah, do you know God will take your man away? But those in Jordan, they saw the action. So when he got there, he said, oh, Jordan. Oh, Jordan, 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 Jordan. Any Jordan before you will fall in the name of Jesus. Because of the anointing. Now he just said, open. But the thing they did open. He said, okay. Then he said, a certain time, where is the God of Elijah? Then he struck it again. And he opened. And after that, his master's last and greatest miracle was his first. I pray in the name of Jesus that where the fathers ended, that's where God's grace will allow us to begin. Because the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. I pray for you that every purpose for which God made you,
in between the two times, the Lord will give you grace to fulfill it. That the night will not meet you when you would not be ready. I want you to pray to God. Now, listen to the prayer. If you don't know the reason why you are on earth, I want you to pray that God reveal my purpose to me. And then prayer number two, if you know it, then you want to ask for grace that you will be able to fulfill it. Begin to pray this prayer passionately. Pray to God. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Pray to God.
We trust you've been blessed by God's word. We invite you to be part of our victory services every Sunday from 7 a.m. You can find us behind Opportunity International, adjacent Vodafone Ghana, Kwame Nkrumah Circle. Follow us on Twitter at @JJM_EC and like our Facebook page, JJM EC. For further correspondence, email englishchapel@gmail.com. God bless you.